This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Imagine your brother wanting to kill himself. Imagine handing him a gun to show him how crazy the thought of it sounds. He takes that gun and shoots himself in the head, in front of you. Now imagine you are 911, listening to the aftermath of a tragic mistake. This is what it's like within the trenches. In this episode, we will visit the I Am 911 movement, a movement I started to fight the reclassification of dispatchers from clerical to protective and bring awareness to the types of calls that 911 dispatchers answer on a daily basis. Now, you heard the warning at the beginning, but I must warn you again and add that if you suffer from PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. The stories you're about to hear are all true and come from the dispatchers who live them. While some stories have a good outcome, the majority are horrifying. This is our reality. Your worst day is our everyday. We will also visit PTSD in the dispatch world and the thought of dark humor in public safety. So let's start with a bang. I want you to imagine each story. Become the dispatcher who has taken each call, and imagine listening. I am the voice who stayed with you when your autistic daughter stabbed you in the head with a knife from your own kitchen. I got you to a safe place and helped you control the bleeding until help arrived. I will never forget the terror in your voice. I will always remember that you thanked me for helping you. I am 911. I was the one who talked to you when you were only 10. You were sitting by your mother's side, holding her hand after she shot herself in the head. You told me how much blood was there and how blue her lips were. You wanted me to make her wake up. I am so sorry I couldn't do that one request for you, sweetheart. I wonder where you are today, 28 years later. I have retired my headset after 31 years, but my memories never die. The hard ones are still with me, still today. I am 911. I spoke to your quivering 6-year-old voice, helping you hide your toddler brother and yourself while you listened and cried as your mother's boyfriend violently beat her. You were so strong. I told you what a strong girl you were and how smart to call me and to protect your tiny life and his. I pray you stayed a strong girl who will never allow yourself to be in a situation like that again. I am 911. I stayed on the line listening to your crying and timid 13-year-old voice saying over and over, it was an accident, when you shot and killed your 11-year-old best friend. Your father found you in the pond, not breathing. He sobbed as I talked to him through CPR that didn't work. I can still hear him. I can still hear your brother's screams. I am 911. I stayed on the phone with you when you woke up and found your wife not breathing. You had a house full of kids because one of your children was having a sleepover. You had a 9-week-old to worry about, but you were strong and you followed all the CPR instructions I gave you. Because of you, your wife is alive today. I will always remember speaking with you that morning and hearing the fear in your voice. I sent her paramedics and officers and everything I could, but it wasn't enough. And I felt I wasn't enough. I took this call on day 2. Over time, I learned that we cannot save everyone and to be extra grateful for saving those we do. Life is precious. That's why I make it my job to protect it. I am 911. You called 911 when your girlfriend was serious about committing suicide. Officers were dispatched. While they were responding, you called back indicating it sounded like she kicked the chair out from under her. Officers were expedited, forced entry into her home, and found her on the basement floor crying, because the rope broke. I am 911. It was 2 in the morning on a Wednesday, and I listened to you wail and pray as you watched your wife burn to death, pinned in the car you just crawled out of. She was still trapped under a semi on a remote highway far from any of my trucks. Good Samaritans tried every fire extinguisher they had and even tried to somehow wrap chains around the door to pull it off with their vehicles, but nothing worked. I heard her piercing pleas for help until the moment they stopped. I stayed on the phone with you after you had found your father lying in the hallway, in his blood, after you thought he had hit his head. When the paramedics arrived and rolled him over, they found the gun. I heard your scream. You then asked me to stay on the line with you until your husband arrived. I answered when you called because your daughter had just killed herself by drinking household cleaner. I cried listening to you cry and sing to her for 6 minutes before help arrived. You were her mother. I was her childhood friend. I took the call when you said your brother was suicidal and you couldn't find him. I couldn't tell you my call just before yours was your brother jumping from the observation deck of City Hall. You adopted her at 7. You cut her down at 15. I hear you screaming when I close my eyes. I am 999. I heard your mother wail as she collapsed, broken, the instant the paramedics arrived and confirmed your young life was gone. You were my age, and you died from a condition that's also mine. I am 000. I told you everything was going to be okay, even though I wasn't sure that was the case. I told you how good of a job you were doing by talking to me and staying calm as your body was stuck between a truck and a tree. I begged you to talk to me again when I heard you coughing and gasping for air. You were 28 years old. The medics pronounced you dead on arrival. You will never know, but I cried every night for a week before bed because of you. I am 911. You were driving and flipped your vehicle. I listened to you beg to get help for your friend, but you didn't know where you were. I got them there, but he didn't make it. I still hear your pleas. You were 12 years old, and your grandfather continuously raped you every night for 2 weeks. This time, I listened as he answered the door for the police and told them they had the wrong house because no one called the police at his house. I listened as the panic almost caused you to black out. That's it. I'm his. He'll do it again tonight. Click. I called back as the girl from school and cried with you, but whispered, they were coming for you. I wouldn't let them leave you. I insisted they stay and keep going back until they got you. They did. He's in jail, and you're always in my heart. I pray for you daily, and when I want to quit, I remember you. I remember how much you said you needed me and the bravery you showed by calling. I'll never forget your cries, and I hope you know that even though we are strangers and you might not remember me, I will never, ever forget you. I am 911. We became pretty good friends. When you passed away, I was shocked. I stayed strong through your funeral, but I lost it during your last call, your end of watch. Until that day, Sergeant. I am 911. I talked you through delivery while you and your husband sat on the side of the highway. I heard your healthy baby cry. I heard you both cry with joy. I am 911. You called crying and screaming after finding your 90-year-old mother unconscious and not breathing. I got you to calm down and perform CPR. Medics don't know what I did to calm you because as soon as they got there, you broke down again. Your mom lived to see another day because you were able to be calmed and listen to me. I will never forget the sound of air as you breathed life in and then pushed it out. I still have a dream of watching you perform CPR, and I can't reach you, but you can hear me. I can't see your face, but but you listen word for word as I hear your breath enter and leave your mom. I cried that night when I went home and called both my grandmothers just to say I love you, just in case. I am 911. You were the calming voice on the phone the night my young husband stopped breathing. Days later, at the funeral home, a stranger came in to pay his respects. I introduced myself, and you identified yourself as the dispatcher. You'll never know what your act of kindness meant to me, but I'll never forget you. Almost 30 years later, I still find comfort in your actions. Thank you, from the bottom of my heart. Those are just a few stories from Imagine Listening, an extension of the podcast featuring the stories of the I Am 911 movement. Next, we're going to take a look at PTSD in the dispatch world. Now, this is an important subject. This is something that some people think that it's only for military personnel. And actually, this can affect many people in different types of jobs. I have taken many phone calls, and what I can tell you right now is they've affected me. They've affected me in many different ways, but that's why I started this. It's to give me a way to get all my stories out there, the ones that really had an impact on my life, and also a way for other dispatchers to be able to get their stories out there. This is therapeutic. We're able to get closure. We're able to heal from this, but PTSD is real. I have never been diagnosed, as I've said in other episodes, but it's definitely affected me somehow. What I'm about to read you is a short article written by a dispatcher in Central Indiana and also a very good friend of mine. And when I read this, it really hit home, and I immediately wanted to share it. And it has been, from what I was told, it was very cathartic for her to be able to write this and get this out there. So I'm hoping that by reading this, it will not only help you, but for those who don't understand everything that goes through, the minds of a 911 dispatcher or what they deal with phone calls and afterwards, this will open your eyes as well. This is called "The Smile Hurts My Face." I sit around the table for an early Christmas dinner, quietly wondering if anyone has noticed that my smile isn't real. I'm having trouble faking. Family and extended family are all talking at once, and it's sensory overload. I excuse myself and sit in the living room with the kids, realizing I have more in common with them than anyone my age. We're both not interested in grown-up talk. The houses, the cars, the material goods. They talk about their good fortune and maybe brag a little, and I sit there wondering what families aren't as fortunate as theirs. I'm not trying to be a snob. I just don't have things in common with them anymore. The houses, the cars, the material goods. I've come to despise holidays for the runs I've been on and the calls I've taken. Years as a medic and now a dispatcher too. My life's mission to serve the people has cast a gloomier view on these holiday events. That house we passed on the way to the store is where I told a husband his wife of 60 years is gone. Those crosses by the bridge are where I watched a family of four die, unable to get to them quickly enough. The bag boy loading our Christmas groceries is spending another holiday without his mother. I know. I took his call. The nightmares I have will never end. I've been invited into some of the most intimate moments in people's lives. I've seen pain and suffering, taking it home with me to nestle in bed, awake and scared that their fate will become my own, worried that what's worse, it will eventually stop affecting me, and that's when I'll know it's time to hang it up. I've got PTSD. Those four letters are hard to say. I've spent time afraid that if I say it out loud, someone will question me why, and they do. I feel shame, like what I have I didn't deserve. They think PTSD is for soldiers, and I'm just a dispatcher. I can't begin to explain it, so I shrug my shoulders and walk away, knowing that someone else's pain and suffering is now a part of me as a person, and I can't begin to make sense of it for them. Family gatherings like this are exhausting, for the well-meaning but always annoying questions about work, about my worst call. They want to live through me, feel a thrill of life saved, but most of the stories I carry around aren't happy ones. No one really wants to know unless it's a happy one. So I make something up, hoping it will satisfy them for the moment, and it does. I can go back to sitting at the kids' table, content in their chatter. I look forward to being able to go home and just be by myself. My own demons feel like better company sometimes. They're familiar, at least. I know what to expect. It's not that I don't love my family. I just can't make them understand, and that feels more exhausting to me. So I smile, nod my head, and sit there quietly, just waiting to go home. Again, that was written by a dispatcher out of Central Indiana and a very good friend of mine. And what can I say? She did an excellent job. She hit it on the head right there. This job is definitely a difficult one. And, you know, I had said in previous episodes that I myself, you know, because I work so much in dispatch that, you know, my family, my extended family, they would invite me to cookouts, birthdays, and everything all the time. And eventually they stopped. And I remember saying, and I'm not afraid to admit it, that I would say, well, they just stopped inviting me altogether, most likely because, you know, I always said no because I was too busy working. But then after reading this, I realized it wasn't really them who stopped, you know, for the reason that I just wouldn't show up. It was because I was the one who was setting myself apart from my family because I was trying to deal with my own issues going on with the calls. And I remember as well at times that, you know, people would ask me the same thing. What was your worst call? What's your worst call been? Or what's your funniest call? And those I would gladly say, even when I would go and get my hair cut, even now, when I mention what I do, that I work as an industry partner in 911, but that before that I was a 911 dispatcher for over 13 years, that's the question that comes up. So what was your worst call? What was the worst call that you've taken? And I always respond with, do you really want to know? Because I have many of them. I don't believe there's one that's the worst call. So I tell them. And I let them know. And afterwards, they're in shock. It's unbelievable. And to those who are new to the podcast and heard all of those stories in the beginning of this episode, now you know. If you didn't know, now you know. This is a reality that dispatchers live. Those are the types of calls that people take. And what I just read you about, you know, this dispatcher having PTSD and how they, how they are at family gatherings. I mean, this is real. This is as real as it gets. And so anyone out there listening, if you are married to a dispatcher or, you know, your family is in dispatching or whichever, maybe with this article that I just read, you'll be able to understand a little more of what's going on. Another thing I have coming up is I have an episode, in a couple episodes, I'm going to have my wife on the podcast to tell her side of the story. This is going to be an I Am 911 story, but from the 911 spouse. And it was a conversation that her and I had yesterday evening. It was the 22nd today, so the 21st. On a Wednesday, we were out shopping, getting some Christmas shopping done. And she just out of nowhere said, you should have a hashtag 911 spouse. And it immediately intrigued me because I was wondering where she was going with this. And she said, they need to tell their side of the story, you know, how they've dealt with hearing these types of calls. So I asked her, how was it for you? What was it like for you when I was working in dispatch still? And listening to the calls that I had to take, you know, me talking about them. And she right away said it was hard for her. It was hard for her to listen. However, she knew that I needed to get it out. I needed somehow, some way to get it out there, because what else was I going to do? You know, I needed somebody there to vent to. So she stuck through it and, you know, she listened. But what she told me was that, and I'll quote her here. She says, "You told me the horrible ones, the ones, you know, you didn't tell me the funny stories. You told me the horrible ones, the ones that you needed to get out there. It was hard for me because I am not built to handle the types of calls you answered." So in an upcoming episode, I'm going to have her on so that she can tell her side, and maybe those who are listening will be able to relate to her side of it. It's going to be an interesting one, so stay tuned for that. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is dark humor. Dark humor in public safety, 911 dispatch. Every profession has a type of dark humor. At least that's my take on it, and especially in the 911 dispatch world. Now, I bring this up because just a couple days ago, I ended up getting a tweet, and it said something to the effect of, "You guys laugh way too much at the tragedies and calls that people call you for. I hope that you're never the person who takes my call when I am in need." Now, I'm not sure which episode this person was listening to, but episode 12 is the first one that starts out where we play 911 tapes. And some of these calls that we were laughing at was part of that dark humor. There was someone it was a bee swarm. But what we're chuckling about is the person who's actually making the call. So the person who's making the call is standing out there getting stung by bees himself, and the dispatcher is trying to get him to get away from there, as well as getting the information. So there's a lot of different things that happen in phone calls that you kind of need to laugh at. And the reason I say this is because if you don't have some sort of dark humor while taking the calls that come into dispatch, you're not going to make it. If it were me and I'm calling, I want that person to have dark humor, because I know that person can put my horrifying situation in the back of their head, even though they have feelings and they're feeling it with me. They are able to put in the back of their head and deal with my situation at that moment. Later on, they can laugh at it all they want, but I want them to focus on me. Now, if they're the type of person who doesn't really have that dark humor and they struggle with certain calls, someone who lets their emotion just get away during those calls, then you might have an issue. Now, this isn't all the time, but what I'm getting at is that if you have someone taking your phone call during the most horrific day of your life and they're dealing with their own issues, you might have a problem. So, to that person who had sent that tweet out, I completely understand what you're saying. And also, thank you for bringing that up and showing your concern, because you ended up getting a bunch of tweets after that from not only myself, but other people trying to explain why dark humor is needed. There was even a nurse who ended up asking this person, "Have you ever smelled burnt flesh before? Have you ever had brain matter on you before?" And she says after that, "If it wasn't for me having dark humor or laughing, I would cry a lot." So this is kind of a defense and coping mechanism. It's not to laugh at other people's misfortunes. It's for us to remain strong and to be able to continue to do the job that we're there to do, to help you in your time of need. And one last thing about dark humor. When you're giving CPR instructions, and actually when you're getting trained, when you're getting your certification for CPR, the song that they play every time, or at least in all of the CPR classes that I was in, they would play the song "Staying Alive," because it's I believe 140 beats per minute. And that is the exact same rhythm that you need when you're giving CPR. And of course, "Staying Alive," how fitting is that? You know, that's kind of a dark humor, but darker even so is the fact that "Another One Bites the Dust" is the same 140 beats per minute. So when you're giving your CPR, you can think either way, staying alive or another one bites the dust. I believe the Imperial March for Darth Vader, his music is 140 BPM as well. So take it how you will, but dark humor is needed, or else you dwell and you end up burning out. So going into the wrap-up, I want to give you a shout-out to Dave, Tim, and Amy of Darkness Radio on AM 1130. I was on their show on Tuesday, December 20th, and I had a great time telling stories. I will post up the links for that, and again, to Mike of Sword and Scale for having me on. Thank you so much for having me on episode 82. The exposure from both shows has been amazing and is helping to open eyes to many to the world of 911 dispatch. To the new listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. This episode is but a glimpse into what 911 dispatchers hear, and I hope you keep coming back for more. To the Thin Gold Line, I want to thank you for the job you do every day and for working 24/7, 365, on nights, weekends, holidays, and forced overtime. Yeah, you know how it is, and that was an elegant original is what we used to say all the time. 24/7, 365, on nights, weekends, holidays, and forced overtime. That one was for you, Meg. All of your stories are out there now, and it's about damn time. New episodes will be coming after the new year. The Within the Trenches Continuing Education Scholarship registration is up, so make sure to check that out. And do not miss out on this opportunity to attend the 2017 IAED Navigator Conference. And this year is going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana, so it's going to be an excellent time. And I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be giving a talk. I'm going to be doing live podcast episodes. I'll have merchandise, swag, all kinds of stuff. So make sure, again, not to miss out on that. Go to jebelug.com/scholarship/scholarship.php. I'll also put the link up on the post so that you can check that out, get registered. We have a few people that have already registered and they are ahead of the game, so make sure to get yours in there. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us at wtdpodcast@gmail.com. If you have an IM901 story to share, you can submit that as well to the same email address. Now, you can still submit to Facebook, the podcast page, which is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. However, there are so many stories that are in there right now that I do not want them to get lost. So if you have one to submit, please send them to wttpodcast@gmail.com. All of the other stories that are in there, which are hundreds upon hundreds of stories that are still in that inbox, we are getting them and we are putting them out daily. It's a little slow moving, but my team and I are still working on it and we're getting them all out there. Again, one of the last ones we were doing is from August 31st and it's now December 22nd. So we're getting them out there. You can also follow us on Twitter and that's going to be at 901 Podcast. I also have two new accounts, the official Instagram Within the Trenches Podcast account, and that is going to be the ID WTT Podcast. So I am posting all of the hashtag IM901 stories on there. All of the ones that have already been submitted to Facebook are getting sent over to Instagram now. So we got both of them there. I know a lot of people aren't always on Facebook. A lot of people are doing more Instagram and Snapchat and such. So on Instagram, WTT Podcast, that's where you can find all of the updates for the IM901 movement in stories and anything else that I'm doing. Actually, with the podcast is going on there, but again, I'm still doing everything on Facebook as well. This is just an extension. This is just an add-on for a more broad audience to get out there. Also, there's Snapchat so that you can snap us, and that is going to be the 901 Podcast. You can hook us up with a message. I'll be sharing stories, memories, all that good stuff on there. So there are many different things that are coming and building up on the podcast. Now, this episode, as well as all others, can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio, as well as thejabberlog.com. Merry Christmas, everyone, and have a good one.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.